Chicago sports conversation is now.
You know, coming off a 3-13 season, you wouldn't know it. You know, I think we got great fans, great enthusiasm out there.
Powering fly ball to right, way back. What a night for Schwarber.
The Beat.
I'd like to see you hit one right back through the middle and just drill, knock Blackie right off that mound.
On 720 WGN.
That actually feels a while ago, Cubs and Sox. I'm so hyped up over last night at Miller Park. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tynowitz. Thanks for having us on this afternoon. Dan Long producing. You got a lot of energy here. I am excited to talk to you, Harry Tynowitz, and to you. 312-981-7200. Cubs go down to the Brewers last night. 2-1, a half game up in the division. You've got Kyle Schwarber and Ian Happ back in the lineup tonight, but let us start with last night. Hi, Harry.
Hey, Carm. It's awesome to be here. A lot of energy in the studio today. I don't know if Dan Long is responsible or what. I picked my daughter up from camp last night in East Troy, Wisconsin. When I dropped her off, they were 5.5 out. So the fact that they're only up half a game, I'm okay with that. It feels like, you know, the Cubs are the Cubs of old.
It's been a great second half. The pitching's been
dominant.
Extraordinary. They have played some very, very good baseball, no question, and nobody thought, at least I didn't think, that they'd be a half game up this quickly, even with losing last night. No diss to the Cubs. And we'll get to last night and the loss, and that's fine. No big deal. It's a game they certainly could have won. But I go to the game last night, right?
Yeah, you're a good fan. A lot of Cub fans there,
yeah.
as always.
So I ride up on Friday, leave work at Fanside at about an hour early.
It's a good time to ride up for a Friday night game. It's Friday.
Yeah, hopefully that's true. Hopefully the boss man didn't know that I cut out early. But, I had to get up there Friday, big game. We got Quintana on the bump. Feels like a pennant race a little bit. So I'm monitoring the tickets on the way up there. And
you had not tickets when you got in the car.
Right, just watching the old StubHub, wondering if I'm going to scale, maybe at the window.
Well, a guy like you doesn't make a phone call? Hey, Crane, can you help me out?
I'm not on that.
Come on.
I don't have that direct number to a Crane Kenny for a
Come
ticket
on,
in Milwaukee.
Stretch.
Yeah, so anyway, and I'm going up with the girlfriend. You know, Chelsea's in the car. She's monitoring, too.
Whoa, Dan marked that. We have the first Chelsea mention.
Yeah, so
408.
So I'm just trying to set the scene here. So we end up getting some great seats as we thought it was a good buy. It was about eighth row behind home plate. They were under face value.
How are you getting eighth row under face?
The beauty of waiting to the last minute. So we're super excited, right? Took forever to get up there, forever to get in the parking lot. Got in, like basically a 3-hour trip on a Friday. But okay, great. We're in the park. I'm super excited. Cubs Brewers, all right. Making this investment, figured it would pay off for the show.
It's always a great game when the Brewers are 15 out. To have the Brewers battling in first place, that got to be really intense last night.
Yeah, and a monster amount of Cub fans, as everybody knows up there. So I saw Brewers fans, as we're walking in on the concourse, high-fiving each other. All right. You're a Brewers fan. It's like they were just looking for one Brewers fan to be there. There was so many Cub fans. And it's funny, when you pull into Miller Park, the parking says $12 except for Fridays, Saturdays, and Cubs. It's $15. That is Cubs. A legit sign.
Cubs are their own premium games.
Fridays, Saturdays, and Cubs.
I'm surprised they're not charging Illinois plates a little extra.
They
little
should.
Surcharge.
They should.
A little upcharge.
They absolutely should. So we sit down, and it's the first inning, and here comes Chris Bryant, and everyone's, we're getting in the cheer mode. And as I just put out on Twitter at the Carm, I start hearing the loudest shrieking Cub fan voices one row behind me. Come on, Rizzo! Like really, really piercing right in your ear. And I'm looking around. I'm like, is this real? Is this going to go on? And I'm like, maybe they're just a huge Bryant fan, and it's going to stop with the next guy. But every single batter, come on, Javi! Come on, El Mora!
I make a lot of noise when Javi's up.
I mean, right. It's so relentless. Just loud, relentless, screaming, piercing octaves, way too intense. And so Chelsea's like getting a headache. the people next to me, I know are
not the first time you've heard her say that.
Right. The people next to me, I know they're annoyed. And so by the third inning, I finally turn around. It might have been the third. I don't know. Second inning, third inning. It wasn't the first. I turn around and I just said, what do you think about just a couple of octaves a little bit lower? Can I get a couple octaves lower?
Whoa.
When I got put, like,
were they imbibing?
They were. Now, I don't think they were. I wouldn't say they were drunk, but they were drinking. That's all true. But I mean, alcohol might have had a factor in it. I have my own reasons of what I really think is going on that I'll say in a second here. But so I turn around and I say, can you just a little bit, I'm not saying don't cheer for the team, but just have a remote clue of how you sound and how the rest of the section, the rest of the ballpark sounds. If you were sitting by yourself in the last row in the upper deck and nobody was here, go right ahead. But, you know, you're 10 rows away from home plate, and they still can't, by the way, hear you. So what are you doing? Or so they did not like it. It did not go over well.
No, I'm shocked.
Yeah, they... What? Are you kidding?
Well, wait. Something. So four women drinking that have spent money on ninth row Cub tickets that have driven in from Chicago to see the Cubs play this big important game did not like being told that they were being too boisterous at a ball game.
That's correct. There was no, I'm sorry, I get it. None of that. I didn't think it was going to go over well, but I felt like I just had to make the ask. And so from there... I mean, they were basically like shouting out, turn around, watch the game. This is a baseball game. Do you know where you're at? I'm like, do you know where you're at? Do you know how many games at the Carm on Twitter where I put their picture up has gone to in my life? Are you kidding me? Do I know where I'm at? And I turned around, I said, what's your name? Because I wanted to get the names for this segment that I already knew I was going to be doing, talking on 720 WGN. They were not giving up names. She was like,
you don't even have to ask. They're gonna say their names.
They never gave us the name. So
it's because you asked.
So Harry, it went.
Where is the Columbo in you? Where is the detective in you?
What would you have done?
Not asked. They would call you. I mean, if we're at a game together, you know, you're going to say Harry. I'm going to say Carm at some point.
I see. I should have been listening intently for them to address each other by their name. Mm-hmm. I wanted first and last, and I wanted to look them up on Facebook, and I wanted to see if they were on Twitter.
What are you going
to
do, post their addresses?
No, I just wanted to at least tag them in the picture that I knew I was going to put up.
So there's a picture up?
Yes, there's a picture up on Twitter. Yes, they're all out there.
Let me go there.
Yeah. So as the game goes along, after I make the ask, they just get louder and louder. And, you know, finally the person next to me turns around to them and says, look, stop, enough. He asked, you said no, that's it. And I just desperately wanted to move. I wanted out. And here's my analysis. You have, why would you scream that loud at a baseball game?
Because you're at a baseball game.
Oh, so you're supporting them. You're on their side?
I wasn't there. So I don't know how much of this is embellishment or...
Would I ever embellish?
If you're a good radio host, you embellish.
Okay, there's no embellishment going on. Come on, Rizzo! There's no embellishment.
But, I mean, it's not like you were, you know, at Hamilton. Come on, Aaron Burr! Blow his head off!
You know, I was not at Hamilton, but I was at a Cubs... Brewers game. It's a baseball game. This is not.
See, I've been the drunk. I've been the drunk guy at the game.
Oh, so that's what you.
I've been too loud. Never meant any harm. I've been too boisterous.
But you're not defending drunk Harry at the game,
no,
are you?
No. We said goodbye to drunk Harry at the game a long time ago.
Okay.
The world's a better place. Wrigley's a safer place.
Thank you.
Yeah.
To me, it was very clear.
You can't reason with them. If they're drinking, there's no reasoning with them.
They were not like drinking.
Okay.
They maybe had a beer or two, which might have perhaps given them a little bit more freedom. Feel free to weigh in here, by the way. 312-981-7200 ballpark experiences.
Freedom.
was I wrong to make the ask? Can you take it down an octave or two? And I would love
please join in.
And I would love to have a suggestion on how I could have better approached it to get what I wanted, because that clearly was not the
way. Buy him a dog.
It didn't work out
buy
the way.
Buy him four dogs and let him concentrate on the food instead of drinking.
Can I get you some nachos? How about a pretzel? How about an endless bucket of popcorn so you'll shut up and let everybody in the section enjoy the game? It was very clear to me that here is a group of people that somehow, some way, here's my psychological take on what was going on here, Harry. Here you have these four who are trying to attach with the Cubs players out there, because there's some Cubbies out there that are really going for it in life, and they're out there and they're playing baseball and they made it to the major leagues and they're getting everything done. And that is attractive to this group. So they want to be with them. Come on, Javi! And in their own lives, I'm making a little jump leap here, which I think is accurate. They're probably not going for things as much as they're looking at what the Cubs are doing.
Man, you can tell all that.
Yes, I think I can.
Are you psychic?
Well, who does?
Because I want to go to Arlington Park tomorrow if you're psychic.
I think it's basic human psychology 101 here. What possesses you to be that over the top in your rooting if it's like there's something that they're trying to attach to that they're not doing themselves? That's how I see it.
All right, well, first of all, I think
Dan Long is super uncomfortable with the psychological talk going on here on 720 WGN. Yes?
Isn't that what technically all of sports fandom is your hooking on to other people's athletic accomplishments?
Well, there are some people enjoy watching sports because they're the best at what they do and they appreciate how difficult it is and they take a rooting interest into it too, but they're not over the top screaming at every batter. There's a very clear line that these four were well jumping over, trying to get something into their lives that they didn't have, versus the normal fan who sits there and appreciates the game. And when there's a home run, they go nuts.
I mean, there's so many levels to this, okay? There's the level of, father and son bonding at the game.
Yeah, that's a beautiful level.
But they can be boisterous. There's also the level of Seinfeld. You're cheering for the shirt. Doesn't matter who the players are, you're cheering for the shirt.
Sure.
I'm at home and my kids come running in. Dad, why are you yelling at the TV? So without booze, without being at the game, I'm loud and boisterous.
Different in your own home. You can do whatever you want. It's your home. You pay
I can do
for
whatever I want in my home?
Well, okay, maybe you can't, but you should. Listen, if others are
used to, I could.
You are sharing the space in your home. However, if you are watching the game and you're in the hairy den and you got the door shut and you want to scream at the TV, it's just your world. There are 40,000 other people around, and there's a section of people right around you.
Right, but I mean, you at a restaurant. Okay,
you go at a restaurant.
Here's where I would turn to a fan and tell him to be quiet. Is if they're swearing around kids, if you're cussing around kids, that needs to be addressed. You know, I mean, I agree. The other thing that drives me crazy are the people that get up and come back. I swear to God, there's 34,000 people at the Cubs game, and the four that are getting up and going to the bathroom every 5 minutes are sitting right next to me, and they keep standing up with the pitch. You know, the Hawks and the Bulls, they do this cool thing where the ushers have stop signs and they wait till there's a break in the action.
Well, and that's a whole nother thing we can do coming back after. And I've done this before, but I think it feels right to do it again now. My just general ballpark etiquette on how to be a good fan around other people who are also fans. That's like fan 101. I've been going long enough and have seen exactly what you're talking about, where there's just some basic fan etiquette that for whatever reason,
right,
we can't get it down. We just can't.
Don't stand up and take, I know you had a long drive in from Nebraska, but don't stand up and take your picture with two up and two on in the bottom of the inning.
Exactly right. Cubs and Brewers, by the way, we should tell you, are neck and neck for first. Tonight it's a division showdown in prime time for Milwaukee's. Miller Park won't be there. Cubs, Brewers.
I bet there'll be four yelling women there.
Yeah, they have tickets tonight, too. Cubs, Brewers, tonight at 6 on WGN TV Sports, 312-981-7200. We'll get into the actual meat of what's going on in the field coming up in a bit, but a little more of the fan side coming up next, 720 WGN. WGN Fan Etiquette. Couple things here as we're talking about the four. I put it out on Twitter at the Carm, who were behind me last night at Miller Park. They were in the ninth row. I was in the eighth row. We were behind home plate. It should have been a lovely evening, despite the Cubs going down 2-1, and it still was. But there is just there was a level of annoyance that didn't need to be had. 630 texting in here. I was there in the same vicinity. These women were freaking annoying. Unfortunately, in my experience, the most annoying fans up there have been Cub fans.
Now, I'm looking at your picture, and I want to say that two of these women look older than the other two.
We got a mom and a daughter, I think, on both sides.
Yeah, that's what it is. So all four equally responsible?
No, no. One mom was... One mom was the second worst. Her daughter, I believe, was the worst. And then the other two were kind of non-factors. But the one that was on the aisle, she was reaching her phone over to take a picture of me, saying, like, this is the old man. This is the party
Come
pooper.
Come on.
Yeah, that went on. I was getting...
Why are you not in a Cubs jersey or a Cubs t-shirt, by the way?
I don't...
Where are your colors?
I don't do that. I don't.
See, the person in row seven should have stood up and yelled at you for not having Cubs stuff on.
My shirt was white and blue. Listen, you know who I'm...
Pathetic.
You know who I'm rooting for when you're around me. I know you're a big jersey guy. I'm just not a big jersey
t-shirt.
Guy.
T-shirt. T-shirts, hat. Yeah. We're a Cubs cap.
I don't know. I'm an adult. I don't feel the need.
Oh, yeah. Adults never wear caps.
No. Okay, a cap. Great. I could. I'm just not that guy. I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. I apologize. No judgment. Maybe a little minor judgment, but of people who have to wear like a jersey and a hat and a batting glove to go to the game. It's just not my scene.
Well, you know, I mean, batting glove.
It's just not me. Here, let me, to your point, Harry.
Yes.
Okay. Rule number one, when you're coming down into your seat, never, and I do mean never, never walk into your row while there is a pitch going on. Right after the pitch, right after it lands into the catcher's glove, you can go into the row.
It's so
That's
easy.
A perfect time.
It's so easy.
It's so easy, but we just can't get it. We can't figure it out. Don't get up in the middle of whenever. While there's a pitch going on, and walk out of the row. Pay attention to what's actually going on in front of you. Not that hard, for whatever reason. It's literally every game. People can't get that one done. How hard is that?
It's very frustrating. And, you know, I don't mind the out-of-towners that take pictures. The cell. Guaranteed rate is a great stadium. Wrigley Field is, you know, iconic. I don't mind them taking pictures, but don't do it, like, during the at-bat.
Right, right. If you want to do it during the at-bat and you're sitting in your seat, great.
Great.
Great. If you're going to stand up, then there's this thing called between innings.
Yeah. Now, you responded to these people. Did they say anything back to you the whole night?
No, what they did was they tried to be as annoying as possible in how they would root. I mean, they were, like, extra. It was a piercing, crushing scream that chilled you to the bone, Harry. I mean, what during the seventh inning stretch, they were trying to like root for the Cubbies.
It was like four female Gilbert Gottfrieds.
Like take me out to the crowd. Like they were like there was an emphasis on crowd. Like they were just trying to. I thought it was intentional dig at me.
Have you ever gotten into it with a player?
Have I ever gotten into it with a player?
Yes.
No, but I kind of wanted to get into it with Javi Baez last night. We have Adam Ho coming up at 4:35, but we're going to talk at 5:10 about Javi. And I love Javi.
I love Javi.
But Javi is maddening, and he was maddening last night.
He's undisciplined, but he's the greatest defensive infielder in baseball.
His discipline is like way down the list of my annoyance.
Yeah, Arcia is close on the Brewers. That kid is Great. Their shortstop?
Yeah, yeah.
Spectacular with the glove.
Yeah, and Milwaukee, actually, they played excellent defense last night. It was a sloppy game. Sloppy situation. We do have another break before news here. All right. Thank you for everybody texting in here. Sorry we didn't get to a bunch of them, but perhaps we'll do that in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to switch to Bears next.
Bears.
Adam Hogue's
been
down.
We'll come back to Cubs
at 5, and it was a learning experience. I have many takeaways, although I really don't know what I could have done differently.
I've gotten into it with two players.
Oh, let's...
Into it.
Names?
One recent, one not so recent.
All right, we'll
one was a Brewer.
I want to hear that coming back after news. 720 WGN.
I mean, I have to respect the plan that they have in place, and I have to believe in that. So that's what I'm doing. We have a great quarterback room. Mike, Mark, and Connor really have all been helping me with everything I need, mental side of the game as well as preparation and going into practice and just staying on top of the plays and all that. So it's for me, it's just control what I can control. Get better every day, and believe in the plan that they have in place.
He's got the political correctness game down. Maybe he'll get the rest down, too. Although, reading tweets and reports from Adam Hogue this week, Mitch Trubisky sounds like the next coming of Joe Montana. Might be a little bit over my skis out on that one. Let's find out if I am. Adam Hogue joining the beat now on his own show. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Harry Tynowitz, 720 WGN, with you till 7. Good afternoon, Adam Hogue.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I think Mitch has shown exactly what you would expect so far through just a few practices. But you've seen the ability. You've seen some really nice, strong throws. And then you saw a guy today that I think was probably a little nervous and going through his first pad of practice and couldn't just get something simple like the snap exchange, which, by the way, is one of the something you don't really have to worry about at all. One thing I've been saying today is, have you ever seen a quarterback fail at the NFL level just because he couldn't take a snap? It's just not something that happens. It's a really easy thing.
Never happens. Never happens.
Yeah, sure, there's busts, but it's never because they can't figure out how to get under center and take a snap. So that's not really going to be a problem going forward. What is more of the issue is, and I'm not sure that I've seen him struggle with this yet, I mean, his footwork, mechanics. He comes from an offense that was all shotgun, where they would give him the change of protections from the sideline. You know, when you see a lot of college offenses and the quarterback, like, stops and looks to the sideline right before the snap and then maybe changes things, that's all coming from the coaches. In the NFL, you have to be able to do that yourself at the line of scrimmage. So that's the kind of stuff that is going to be more of a problem early, that it's just natural adjustment to the NFL level. And I think so far we've seen some rustiness, and we've also seen some really good throws too.
Bears.
Well, Mike Glennon has been called very mobile for a guy with a 6'6" frame, and he played in that pro style offense, as we all know, at North Carolina State. So far the vibe seems pretty good from here on Mike Glennon. What's your take?
Yeah, Glennon, I think he has more limitations, but it's really hard because he hasn't started a game since 2014. So, you know, when the Bears signed him and I went back and watched all his tape in Tampa, I saw a lot of good things. I saw a guy who does have more mobility than you would think. I think Mitch Trubisky has a lot more mobility and is somebody who can actually tuck the ball and run it effectively. And probably Trubisky has better pocket presence too. But I'm comparing college tape in the ACC to tape of a quarterback that hasn't really played in 3 years. So there's still a lot of unknowns here with these guys, and that's what I think the Bears are trying to figure out right now. What I do like from Glennon is anything – within 15, 20 yards has been pretty sharp, including today. It's more so when he has to kind of throw deep that there becomes more problems, and it's not his arm. He has arm strength. There's just maybe not as much touch. And a lot of it, too, and this is something you have to keep in mind early in training camp, he's throwing to guys that he's never really thrown to before other than OTAs. So a lot of this is just sort of getting on the same page, too, with your wide receivers, which just comes with experience.
Sounds like the next Mike Tomczak. That's how I heard that one. Adam Hoge down at Bears camp in Bourbonnais, joining us live right now, 720 WGN. So, just I'm curious, what type of crowds are we getting? Your first padded practice today, beautiful Saturday, the Bears coming off a 3-13. Bears fans showing up there, Adam?
Yeah, today was huge. Today was a great crowd. I imagine a lot of fans made the trip down to see Mitch Trubisky, which is why they were getting, you could kind of hear the anxiety in the crowd when he was struggling early today. But yeah, it was a great day. A lot of fans, probably the most I've seen in a couple of years down here.
Wait, hold on a second. You telling me that at a training camp on a Saturday, you could feel anxiety in the crowd as Trubisky was struggling?
Yes.
That's unbelievable. That's great.
There was fans. Bears fans.
Well, you have to imagine that they probably – my theory is that's the biggest reason why there was more fans down here than what we've seen the last couple of years.
It's not a bad theory. It's probably true.
So, and it's also, in my opinion, this is the best practice to go to of all training camp. First time the pads go on, you can learn a lot. Now, Thursday, there wasn't a huge crowd, but they moved up practice up an hour because of weather. And it was also a Thursday. It wasn't a Saturday, and the pads weren't on. So, you know, that looked more typical of what we've seen the last couple of years. But today was a big crowd, and John Fox even mentioned something at the beginning of his press conference today, like, hey, we went 3-13 last year, and you wouldn't even know it based on the crowd that showed up today. So a loyal group in Bourbonnais.
All right, Adam, he's a first-round draft pick who has missed 87.5% of his NFL games.
That's significant.
What can we hope for Kevin White this season?
Well, I think the easy answer is for me to just say hope that he plays 16 games, which is crucial.
You never took the easy road, Adam.
Yeah, well, because here's what worries me. Ryan Pace on a Wednesday, when he had his press conference, mentioned the word confidence with Kevin White. And there seems to be a belief that he's still thinking too much. Now, some of that is understandable, given the fact that he hasn't played a whole lot. I mean, I think every NFL player comes into the league and has to get over that hump where, you know, you're thinking a lot at the line of scrimmage, and you need to get over that because if you hesitate at all, you're not going to be very successful no matter what the position. Kevin White seemed to improve on that in week three last year. He got off to a slow start, and I had big questions about him in the preseason last year. I didn't really see a guy who looked like a first-round talent. And all of a sudden in week three in Dallas, it seemed to sort of click, and he carried that into week four against the Lions, and he was having a really good game when he got hurt. And then we haven't seen anything from him since. So that appears to still be an issue. I don't know if it's him not completely understanding the playbook or the leg injuries or, you know, just not having experience is probably part of it. But I think that's the big hurdle he has to get over. I would feel somewhat optimistic that he started to do that last year. So, but, you know, he needs to be healthy or this is just not going to go well. I mean, if he doesn't have a good season by year three, then, you know, I think we know where this thing's headed.
720 WGN, Adam Hoge, our Bears reporter down at camp. Speaking of health here, and I know you, by the way, you tweeted out a couple Kevin White drops that have occurred as well, which is not necessarily a good sign that he can't catch the football. But moving along to other people that are coming back from injury, Kyle Long had that serious broken ankle that and complications from surgery. It sounds like he's a ways away from being on the field. And I know you talked to him earlier this week. What's your sense on where Kyle Long is at, moving to left guard too?
Yeah, so I expected him to be on the PUP list to start, and he wasn't. So that was a good sign.
What's the PUP list? Sign.
The PUP list, the physically unable to perform list, is a tool that allows you to put a player on there where if they miss the entire preseason and they aren't ready to go for the start of the regular season, they can remain on that list, and it doesn't cost you a roster spot, and it doesn't force you to put a guy on IR to get that roster spot, which is something that becomes an issue during the season. So if a like last year with Purnell. Purnell McPhee starts on PUP last year. He also starts on PUP this year, but for different reasons. But last year, the Bears kind of knew he wasn't going to be ready. So by putting him on PUP, they were able to sideline him for 6 weeks, and it didn't cost him a roster spot. So the fact that Kyle Long and Danny Trevathan, too, did not start on PUP, I thought was a very good sign, a good indication that the Bears expect them to play, if not week one, you know, early, but probably week one. Now, Kyle practiced Thursday, very limited basis, and apparently had some soreness and was not out there today. They just had a walkthrough yesterday. So, you know, that's a good indication that he's still not quite there. And we got a lot of time between now until the regular season, but I think today was a good reminder that he's still working his way through some things, and it might be a couple weeks before we really see him practicing hard.
I saw a little video in this week. I did not think it was a 5-second video, but I didn't think he was moving the way he normally moves. It didn't look great to me. And by the way, I know what the PUP list is, but I might want to make sure that everybody was included here, Harry.
What you did is great. Well, what you did is great. You know, I'm mad at myself for not saying that Kevin White's a wide receiver and asking my question, because you got a lot of diehard Bears fans, but you got a lot of other people that are, you know, just kind of new to the party.
You also have a lot of diehard Bears fans that forgot Kevin White was a wide receiver.
That's true. Why will the defense get more turnovers this year, Adam, than they got last year?
That's a good question.
Thank you. I had the verb in the right place and everything.
Yeah. because they had so few last year that they just like sort of have to have more. I mean, it was really that bad last year. Look, I think beyond just them adding guys, like today we saw Quentin Demps intercept Mike Glennon. Okay. That guy had 6 interceptions last year in Houston. That's like some guys just naturally find the ball better than others. And so that's part of the hope. Marcus Cooper, the guy that's been able to get interceptions in the past, and he comes over at corner. Prince Amukamara, too. So that's kind of the hope there. But I think you can't just individually say, oh, I'm going to go get the ball. Very few guys had that instinct. Charles Tillman was obviously one. But it's more of a group effort. So I think the Bears are hoping that, hey, the front seven can be a strength of this team if they stay healthy. And, of course, that's already an issue because Purnell McPhee has another knee injury and might not be healthy. But if the front seven can get more pressure, the secondary is now more experienced and has a couple guys back there that have a history in the NFL of creating interceptions, forcing fumbles, getting turnovers, then that, I think, is where the Bears think that they have a formula where that can start to happen. Because, you know, it wasn't like the defense was horrendous last year, and it should be better. But at some point, you got to start getting takeaways, because that's the name of the game in the NFL.
At Adam Hogue. For all your Bears needs, at Adam Hoge. Before we let you go, any hoagies?
Yeah. How about I had a conversation with Charles Leno Jr. today, the Bears left tackle, who I think a lot of Bears fans look. Left tackles are easy to pick on. I think they usually are going up against some of the top pass rushers in the NFL, especially in the NFC North. And I thought Leno last year had overall a pretty good year. But there were still some things that he could have done better, and I think the Bears are hoping he does better. And the reason why you know that, and this is what I talked to him today and really what I'm getting at here, is he's in a contract year. He is going in his fourth and final year of his rookie contract, and had he had an outstanding season last year, one would think the Bears would have locked up their left tackle, but they didn't. So I asked Leno today, does that motivate you? Is there extra motivation kind of knowing that's the case? And he said, absolutely it is. He knows he has a lot to prove. So this will be a huge year for Charles Leno at left tackle. And he can make himself a lot of money, whether it's in Chicago or somewhere else, because you guys know that left tackles get paid well when they play well.
And they made a movie about it called The Blind Side.
True story. Adam will be with the show tomorrow for a full 3 hours alongside Jared Payton, so a ton of Bears talk.
That'll be a much better show than this one.
That's every show is great on this station, Harry. Let's not Right. Thank you. I want to talk to you tomorrow, Hogue, about what the Bears are doing different conditioning-wise. They've got these a whole new thing that they're studying. But just like, can you give a cliff note, 30-second version here as we're up against the break as to how the Bears are going about getting their team ready in a different manner this year because Ryan Pace and John Fox are just that much smarter?
Well, it's tough to do in 30 seconds, but I'll try. I mean, basically, they're putting more of an emphasis on recovery. I don't think that they're like today's padded practice was any lighter than what they've been in the past. But to get ready for this one, yesterday was just a walkthrough. They've changed practice times. We can go more into that tomorrow. But their hope is that they're keeping guys healthier by letting them rest more, which is a pretty good theory, actually.
Solid theory. I might have to implement that into my tennis game, which, by the way, we're going to talk about that next for a second.
What?
I know you're excited to do it. Adam, great stuff as always. We'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Adam Hogue.
Thanks, Adam. Terrific.
Down at Bear Benet. If you are going down there, you do need to register online to get your free tickets.
Yeah, that's new.
That is a new thing. They're trying to get those clicks, or so they're doing something. I don't exactly know the motivation, but if you want to go, you do need to register first. Although I probably believe that if you go down there and didn't register, you'll still get in, but don't do that.
It's extremely fan-friendly, and if you've never been, it's worth it. Yeah, I mean, tickets are hard to get. You could take your kids, you could take your girl, you could take your folks and go watch the Chicago Bears practice like 12 feet away from you.
I think it's incredibly worthwhile to bring the family in out there if your kids are interested in football. It's a cool experience. It doesn't cost anything. That's huge. And I think that for an adult like yourself, it's great to go once or twice. And then that will be enough. 720 WGN. So, Harry, it happened.
Yes?
The long-awaited match with the great Lenka Brusova. Number 3 all-time in tennis wins. In college at Baylor University.
Which is really impressive.
It's incredibly impressive. And she got to, like, say, 500 in the world and, you know, was on her way to stardom but then blew out her Achilles and then was never the same. And now she's an assistant coach at Tulsa, so doing the Oklahoma thing. But she was willing to play me as I put out the challenge around, if you go back in time to John McEnroe saying that Serena Williams would be
700th.
Yeah. And I was defending McEnroe saying it was actually a compliment. And then I said that if you're over 30 and played college tennis, I'd be willing to take you on, even though I never played in high school, never played in college, and I'm just a recreational player. By the way, I beat Tim today 6-3, 6-3 in the Shoreline League. Another victory for At The Carm on Twitter.
Is it hard for Tim to volley when he's in the wheelchair?
Tim was probably 47 years old.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Maury was on court 3. He's 73. And
good for Maury.
Maury was out there. They were having an intense match on court 3. But Tim, I'm guessing 40s. Could have been an early 52.
So Lanka, you beat her?
Lenka Brusova beat me 6-0. It was a 6-0 loser, and I'm embarrassed and disappointed, but also I gave it my best, Harry. I had 3 game points. I was up 40-love. It was right there for me to get on the board and get a game, and if I had gotten that and the momentum had built in my favor, I think I could have gotten maybe one more game.
Well, I've seen the new commercial, the new Nike commercial. Defeat is what motivates you.
That's true. It's not how many times you fall down. It's how quickly you get back up, or it's how often you get back up. And this was a blow, but as I just said, I came out today and took down Tim, who's not quite on the same level as the number 3 all-time women in NCAA history. So we may have Lenka on the show at some point here, but I was...
I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, I wanted you to know that I embarrassed myself, and I...
That segment wasn't so bad. Oh, you're talking about... Oh, I'm sorry, I misunderstood.
There'll be... At some point here, there'll be a post going up at WGN Radio If I figure out how to put all this video together that I
have. You got to.
I need to get the video too. So, all right, that happened. And as we come back after 5 o'clock here, another guy who embarrassed himself last night, the second baseman for your Chicago Cubs, Javi Baez.
He hit a towering home run.
Did you see what he did after the home run?
He enjoyed himself.
Yeah, okay. We're gonna talk about it. A little bit of Javi here coming up after 5. Also, we'll take a look at tonight's game, which is, I don't know, a big one? Is it fair to say it's a big one?
Oh, yeah, it's for a couple reasons. Kyle Hendricks' second start, he didn't even go 5 innings last time.
And right.
Plus, you want the victory to stay in first place.
Right. Okay. That's good. We'll do a little Cub talk to start the 5 o'clock hour, 720 WGN.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. With you till 7 tonight, Amy Guth will hop in this... She'll be hopping in the chair at 7 o'clock. I'm Mark Carmody. Sir Tino with Dan Long producing. Phone number is 312-981-7200. So, I love Javi Baez, Harry. Mm-hmm.
How can you not?
The NLCS MVP last year.
Yeah, co-MVP, right?
The home run he hit in game one against the Giants on a 3-2 pitch with an incredible at-bat against Johnny Cueto in game one. Amazing at bat, right? If people remember it, he spit on pitches just off the plate. He worked the count full, and then he unloaded on a ball that nearly hit the moon and then landed in the basket, and the Cubs won game one of the series. It was incredible. So we've seen that when he's really focused and dialed in and being the absolute best he can do incredible things both at the plate and then in the field, right? He's some of the best plays you'll ever see is from Javi. He's playing shortstop tonight, hitting eighth. But like you look at the lineup tonight. Jason Hayward's 1 for his last 17, hitting ahead of Javi. Kyle Schwarber's hitting 190, hitting ahead of Javi. Ian Happ is 0 for his last 12 and has struck out 6 times, hitting ahead of Javi. I would make the argument that Javi is more talented than all of these guys, but yet he hits eighth because he hasn't really focused on getting a concept of the strike zone, and he just wants to do the Javi, like hit a 500-foot home run like he did last night. And so here's where I have the problem.
Yes.
It's 2-0 last night.
Uh-huh.
You're playing the second-place Milwaukee Brewers. I almost said first-place Brewers.
Good to hear you say that.
Right. You have... underachieved generally all night long. They just didn't look crisp. There was a play at second base where he's getting a throw from Addison. He drops it. Now, the runner was safe regardless, but he tried to flick the catch, like do the Javi, where he wasn't tagging anybody, but he was catching it like he was, dropped it. He had there was a ground ball to Chris Bryant, who instead of coming home, the second run of the game, tried to get
it's
a...
It's not Javi's fault.
Well, we went 5-4-3 double play. He dropped it. He fumbled it on the transfer. Okay, now mistakes happen. I'm not the guy's allowed to make mistakes, but it just wasn't a great night for him. There was another moment, fly ball to Albert Almora.
Oh, that was not pretty.
So the drop was ugly, but I'm talking about a routine fly ball. Almora's camping under it. Baez goes running out and gets like real close to him and crouches down just to kind of be like playful. It's a distraction. Like there's no need for it. I don't like you don't need to have the attention on you all the time. And then he hits the home run, a gargantuan shot off of Anthony Swarzak, who closed out the Cubs in the only game the Sox won this week. The pitch was terrible. It was ridiculous, hanging, horrendous pitch that you might have gotten a base hit on. He hit it to Kenosha. Great. Phenomenal. He crosses home plate and he is pointing to I have no idea who in the crowd. I mean, he's just taking his sweet time. The crowd's going nuts. He's pointing away like he had just hit a grand slam that put him up 4-1. You're still losing the game, man. Get in the dugout. You're run. Yet that didn't do anything. That cut the lead in half. All it did.
I think what makes players like Javi Baez and Wilson Contreras so exciting for Cubs fans is the passion they play with. And it's what makes players in every sport great, is the passion that they play with. Javi Baez wasn't, you know, showing up the pitcher. Okay? It wasn't a bat flip moment. He didn't, you know, he didn't decide, you know, I'm going to go all, you know, in your face to the pitcher. He just, he was so excited that he crushed one.
I'm pro bat flip, for the record. I think pitchers are soft. If a guy hits it 500 feet, he's allowed to stand there and enjoy himself. I hate old school baseball rules. I'm not saying any of that. But when you're losing to your own teammates, you don't make it about yourself and act like you're winning. I know that
I think what's worse is like when you're losing, when the Bears are losing 34-0, and a guy gets a sack, Lamar Houston, and jumps up because he got a sack. You know, I mean, really, it's your job,
right?
You're supposed to get sacked.
I would put this under the same umbrella. You're still losing, man. What are you doing?
He halved the lead. He cut the lead in half.
Javi halved the lead.
Yeah,
I'm a big Javi guy. I appreciate, but he is maddening.
You know, if you want to get mad at Javi Baez, talk about his plate discipline. He had 5 strikeouts Tuesday.
Right, and
I mean that was awful. 5 times he went down swinging. What, platinum, I believe, platinum sombrero.
I guess I don't even know. I didn't.
Doesn't happen that often.
It's happened. It's the first time it's happened for Javi, but. I wouldn't rule it out happening again. The Madden sat him for 2 days. You know, the first one
was,
he's got a scheduled off day tomorrow, so don't read anything into it. Then he gave him another day off. So, you know, Madden said nice things or somewhat funny things after the game. Well, it's like John Daly, man, grip it and rip it. The ball just wasn't on the tee tonight for Javi. Well, he made that comment. But I just, if he was a 200 hitter who was a phenomenal defender, okay, like, we're not here for your offense, but he's not that. And he's been, by the way, he's been great in the second half up until the last couple of games.
His average has gone way up.
Right. 312-981-7200. Anybody else notice the Baez thing last night as far as the, I felt like I was the only one there who was like, I felt like screaming at him when he was sitting there pointing, get in the dugout, dude. Get in the dugout.
I want to ask
what are you doing?
I know you're going to take a call, but I want to ask you about Kyle Schwarber.
Okay. 312-981-7200. We got to take taxi driver Bob. I mean, he's so loyal.
Hey, callers, how you doing this wonderful weekend?
We are good. How are you, TD Bob?
I'm just about to pick up some people and take them to the Barry Manilow concert at the Allstate Arena.
Oh my God! Some people
just don't have any taste in music.
Well, hold on, hold on. Some people are good husbands. Can a Jewish guy confess? I took my wife to see. My wife doesn't want to see Springsteen or Pearl Jam. She doesn't want to see Beyonce or Lady Gaga. She wants to see Barry Manilow. I took her to a Barry Manilow
concert.
You're
a good man, Harry. You're a good man.
Where I bumped into a morning show WGN television producer who said, whatever you do, don't tell anybody I was here. So, okay, I won't. All right, so you're going to Barry Manilow.
A friend of mine, I'm taking some people there in my cabin and taking them back. They are doing the smart thing and not drinking and driving and whatnot. So, but a friend of mine likes Barry Manilow. I can't take him.
What's on your mind, taxi driver?
I told the customer if they sing Copacabana in my cab, they got to get out. But anyways, I agree with you with Javi. He's a very talented guy, but he's just a goofball. I mean, the stuff that he does, and I mean, he's so super talented. And you know, like before he's, you know, when he was swinging at everything and he just wasn't reaching his potential, I really wanted him to get rid of him, but I'm glad they didn't. He's a super talented guy, but I just don't understand. I'm, you know, being 57, I'm from the old school. I just don't understand. Play baseball, enjoy playing. Don't act goofy. You know,
act like you've been there before.
Yeah, right. Don't you know, just all these crazy gestures, and you have to admire your home run and looking all, you know, all the crazy stupid stuff that he does. I mean, cut it out. Just play baseball and enjoy it. Have a smile on your face. Don't act like a goofball. But that's just me.
Here you go, Bob. This is for you, pal.
Okay.
Bob, you're going to be there the whole time. You're not going to go in and see the show?
No, no, no. I'm not waiting over there. I'm just going to drop them off, do my thing, and then come back and pick them up.
Right.
I'll do other affairs in between.
Well, you're going to make money that way.
You're the only caller, Bob, that gets his own theme songs. You should be minorly thrilled.
Yeah, I am. Woo! All right, you guys. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, taxi driver.
I can't take it anymore. Bye.
Bye, TD Bob. That's a sad song.
I love the Copa.
People die in that song. People get murdered in that song.
I used to... What was the bar on Armitage right by the highway?
Did you murder someone?
No.
Marge's?
Yes, Marge's. They had the jukebox.
Now you've come into my wheelhouse. Chicago right. Bars for 400, Alex.
I knew that you were going to have that one all day. And Marge's was a classic. It was open till like 4 in the morning.
Let me
and they
give
had
you the scouting report on Marge's.
Yeah.
Best night to go there was Sunday night because you had so many... working people, bartenders and waiters and waitresses that were cocktail waitresses that would go there to Marge's and just hang out. It was a chance to hang with the people across the bar from you.
They had a phenomenal jukebox.
Solid jukebox.
And you would hear like a Copacabana and a Marge's.
Yeah, that's the place to hear it.
With like a Beam and Coke at 2 a.m. That was the look at Marge's. That's how I rolled over there.
They had one of those games, I forgot what you call it, but it was like where you got to ask for the control and you shoot the clay pigeon on the video.
I don't remember.
It was like the video screen was like on the wall. And like you would shoot the pigeon. You'd see your skeet fire. It was pretty cool.
What do you want to talk about with Schwarber as we get off Marge's?
All right, it's a trade deadline. It's
yeah.
Monday at 2 o'clock Chicago time.
Yeah.
And everybody's on, like, who the Cubs should trade. I find it crazy that they're still talking about Hugh Darvish because Hugh is going to be Hugh Darvish is a rent-a-player, and he just had his worst outing ever for the Rangers. Just allowed 10 runs the other night.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they're talking about getting Verlander. Now, even though it would mean Kate Upton in the stands, hello, you would have he's like getting $1 zillion, okay? I think that the pitcher to me that is the most appealing. And you're the Cubs. You might only need like a relief pitcher because you've got two guys you can count on from that bullpen. But Sonny Gray of Oakland is a young pitcher with a controllable contract. Not only would you boost your rotation this year, but next year when Arrieta and Lackey are gone, you would have.
Wait, hold on a second. So you're saying, hold on, let me buy the bottom line this real fast. Mm-hmm. You want to trade Schwarber for Gray?
I would trade Kyle Schwarber for Sonny Gray.
Wow, Harry. I don't think you'd have a ton of support on that. I have to think about it.
Kyle Schwarber is at the peak of his marketability.
Is he? He's hitting in the 190s, 180s,
He just had two homers and a triple.
Yeah, I don't
and
care.
One of them was like a 7,000-foot home run.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say he's at his peak. He certainly wouldn't have the same value that he had in the offseason last year. But if you're saying that he has the peak that he's ever going to have going forward, that would not be good for Kyle Schwarber or the Cubs.
I think right now, I enjoy all the different booths that I got to watch for the Cubs Sox series.
Mm-hmm.
I watched Len and JD. I watched Stone and Hawk. I've never enjoyed Hawk Harrelson more, by the way.
I love Hawk Harrelson.
And I'm still angry with the ESPN, but I really like the Jason Benetti, Rick Sutcliffe, David Ross booth. That was a lot of fun.
I never touched that one.
Oh, that was a lot of Benetti's great.
No disrespect to any of those guys. They're all phenomenal. I went local.
But the Hawk and Stoney were talking about how great Kyle Schwarber is going to be and how fantastic he is going to be and how he is going to not be as good as Trout and not be as good as Bryce Harper, but he will hit more home runs than them.
Maybe he's right. I hope he is.
Okay, so
based on that, you want to trade him for Sonny Gray, who's been injured and...
Right, and Oakland might say, what else are you going to give us? Oakland might say Schwarber's not enough for Sonny Gray.
They might.
Sonny Gray has been hurt, but Sonny Gray, you roll the dice. He's not Derrick Rose. You don't need to have him in bubble wrap between starts. I would move Schwarber. You've got so many outfielders if you're the Cubs. And Schwarber's an American League guy. Let's face it. He's made a couple nice plays and left. And I'm not dissing Kyle Schwarber. I'm saying to me, the Cubs have outfielders. They could use another starting pitcher.
They could, but for this particular year... Like, I'm feeling a whole lot more comfortable with the rotation right now. Arrieta looks...
Five in a row. Great.
Way better.
Yeah. John Lester.
And that's huge. Lester came out of the break, looks fantastic. Quintana is strong.
Right, and you Hendricks.
We don't know yet on Kyle, but he's back, so that's a positive. And then, you know, whatever, we'll limp to the finish line with Lackey, but he's not going to pitch in the playoffs, so they get there. So I don't think they need to overpay for pitching right now, at least in the rotation. Verlander's interesting to me because if you could get one of the young pitchers to go with him, if you're willing to take on the money.
You're going
to
give up so much, though. In that.
Are you? I don't think you are. They just want to get rid of his salary.
Boy, yeah, but I'm saying if you start adding pitchers into that deal, you know, I think if you're the Cubs, I feel confident they're going to make the playoffs, but it's not a sure thing. And again, Sonny Gray, you want to win the World Series this year. Sonny Gray helps you win the World Series this year.
Who does Sonny Gray pitch ahead of, though? Let's see, you get to the playoffs.
He's the fourth starter.
Yeah, he's the fourth starter. He's going to pitch one time.
So you need four starts.
Once, twice, I guess. Sure.
Yes, you need four starting pitchers in the playoffs.
Sure, it's a luxury though. To have four really good starting pitchers is a total luxury.
Right.
And that means you're bonging Hendricks out of the rotation.
I mean, in the playoffs, he goes to the bullpen. But I'm saying he's an upgrade over John Lackey, and you have him for next year. I would not start him, Sonny Gray, unless he's spectacular. I don't think he starts. But Kyle Schwarber is going to get you so much if you trade him now. If you wait a month, he might not. People love left-handed power. It's a turn on.
I'm turned on by it. I'll be shocked if he goes. Let's get. But it's an interesting one you're throwing out there. They don't have enough in the minors to go get a guy like Sonny Gray. So somebody would be going off the major league roster. Now most people are saying it would be somebody like Ian Happ.
I don't want to give up Happ. Well, switch hitter, can play anywhere.
I suppose I'd rather have Happ than Schwarber. That kind of, for whatever reason, is painful for me to say. Dave, welcome to 720 WGN. You want to weigh in on the hobby? Go ahead, man.
Good afternoon, guys. Good show. But I'm just saying, I'm not as old school. I grew up in the 70s. Watching Walter, okay? He catches a touchdown pass.
Walter.
Either just lays it down in the end zone, or if the ref is close, he underhands it to him and just goes back to the sideline. No theater at all. Just don't do stupid stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, sweetness. Thanks, Dave. Sweetness was the best with that stuff. Flip it right to the referee. And
he was great. Thank you for putting Walter Payton in my head. Thank you.
I love Walter Payton. Jared Payton will be here tomorrow. I don't mind guys who want to celebrate what they've done. I do mind it when you're losing. Because then, to me, as a teammate, you're making it all about you and not about the team. And when you're acting like you won the game, hitting a home run down 2-0 when you only made it 2-1, I know that everybody...
He's excited. They were getting shut out. He hit one very hard. He hit one very deep.
So what? You're still losing, man.
Chill out.
Act like you've been there. What's wrong with you?
It's the bat flip to me is so much more disrespectful.
I don't think he was disrespecting the Brewers. I think he was disrespecting his own teammates.
I think he was just excited.
He was. But get some perspective. Come on, man. Listen, when I hit a walk-off bomb, I do hesitate and show off in my 12-inch softball league. But when I get a base hit and we're still down by a couple of runs.
12-inch softball league? What city are you playing?
Rough and tumble Lincolnwood, baby. 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Chicago, man. 16-inch. No gloves.
No.
16-inch, no gloves.
It's not for me.
Chicago.
847, by the way, texting in saying, hey, guys, it's you, Darvish, not Hugh Darvish.
Right, Hugh Darvish.
You. Yeah, well, you threw like an H in there. You called him like a Hugh.
I can't say Atlanta Falcons. Hugh Darvish.
You.
It's Atlanta Falcons.
So we know. Why you? We got it. Thank you for the correction, though. Play ball, Harry. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive book, so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Don't worry.
I wouldn't call it a correction. I would call it...
What would you call it?
Phonetically challenged.
Phonetically, okay. My bad. Phonetically challenged.
Fred Flintstone. French Fry. Falcon. I can't say it.
720 WGN. Hi, 720 WGN. Am I supposed to be reading something here? I think I already did it. Doesn't matter. All right, more importantly, we're going to do a little Hall of Fame talk coming up after 5:30 as the inductions are tomorrow. Tim Rock Reigns is going in. I talked to Rock a couple of weeks ago. I got a little blip for
you. Bagwell, Pudge, Bud Selig, all going in to Cooperstown tomorrow.
How do you feel about Bud going in?
Bud Selig deserves to go in. I think that a lot of people, you know, remember only the All-Star game being made to decide who gets home field. But I think it's man was commissioner. The man held a big responsibility. And I believe that Jerry Reinsdorf was running baseball during the Bud Selig years.
Interesting. They were always close.
Mm-hmm.
Bud would tell you he's close with a ton of owners, though, not just
closest
Jerry.
To Jerry. And I shouldn't say running baseball, but I believe he had the biggest impact of any owner during his years. Plus, I wanted to ask listeners, have you been to other Halls of Fame? Like, not baseball, football, hockey, basketball, but have you been to other Hall of Fames?
We can. So we'll do a little bit of that coming up here after 5:30. One thing on the Cubs before we move along. It was interesting to me this week that Jake Arrieta came out and said that we expect to be in first place the rest of the way. And then they went and relayed that quote to Joe Maddon, and he didn't jump on board. And he wanted to walk it back. You know, I know when you're, you know, we've been playing great baseball, but, you know, there's crazy things in this game and all that type of stuff. And I don't know about you, Harry, but I'm a big, like, unified field. Like, there's got to sort of be some togetherness going on here. You're all striving for the same thing. So if one guy's saying that we expect to be in first the rest of the way, I don't see why Maddon just can't jump on board and just, I know it's a little scary to put it out there that that's what we expect to do, and you don't want to just, you know, you don't want to. You don't want to show up show up the Brewers or whoever else. But I thought Arrieta actually had his mind in the right place. World Series champs, man.
I think everybody's doing the right thing here. The players, you want them confident. The manager, you don't want him to be perceived as dissing the other team. You don't want to create locker room fodder. So I think it's good what Arrieta said, and I think it's good what Maddon said, and I think they will be in first place for the rest of the way, which means they'll win tonight. So call your guy.
Okay.
Go online.
I'm a little nervous about Kyle Hendricks tonight. One other question for you. One other question.
Yes.
You've got Anthony Rizzo on third last night, 90 feet away from tying it up. You got Addison Russell scheduled to come to the plate. You pinch hitting Kyle Schwarber the way that Joe Maddon did last night. The guy's hitting 191 on the season. I know he had a hot night the night before. Addison Russell had good at-bats the whole night. Was driving the ball to right field.
He's been hitting, very well.
You don't need a two-run bomb. You need a base hit. I thought that decision was off. And I know it was a righty on the mound and Knebel and all that type of stuff, but I thought that decision was off. In what world has Kyle Schwarber earned the right to pinch hit for Addison Russell? Addison Russell of 95 RBIs last year. Right. I don't care righty lefty. I would have gone with Russell. And I think it's, you're kind of ripping away something Russell, too, there.
Schwarber got a homer against lefty the other night, so I shouldn't say he should never face lefties. Addison Russell can hit righties. I think that I would have probably let Addison Russell bat.
All right, we're in agreement. News is next, 720 WGN. No break. Great. News is now. News is sponsored by Pearl Mortgage. I knew that.
1-1 pitch.
Ryan Sandberg, Hall of Famer.
One of the greatest speeches ever into the Hall of Fame.
He was about the name on the front, not the name on the back, Harry.
It was my job. We got a little of that? Let's hear some of Rhino's speech. This is hard to believe. It's been like 11 years since Rhino went into the Hall of Fame. That's crazy.
That is, that's a little while. We got Rhino. Here we go. Ryan Sandberg, the speech. Let's all sit back and feel good about ourselves.
That's my regret, that we didn't get to a World Series for Cub fans.
I was in the postseason twice, and I'm thankful for that. Twice we came close. It reminds me of the guy walking down the beach. He finds a bottle, pops the cork, and a genie comes out to grant him one wish. The guy says, "My wish is for peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Here's a map of the Middle East." Genie takes the map, studies it for hours and hours, finally gives it back to the guy and says, "Is there anything else you want to wish for? This is impossible." The guy says, "Well, I always wanted to see the Cubs in a World Series." Genie looks at him, reaches out and says, "Let me have another look at that map."
Rhino.
Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's nice to hear that now after having won a World Series, right?
Yeah, you know, Rhino, it's great. Everything's better since they won the World Series. Rhino left his minor league team he was managing, and the team got in a fight, and he said he'll never, you know, go to the Hall of Fame again. He'll always be with his, you know, team. He got it. I think the guys going in tomorrow, they got it. Do you think Bagwell's a steroid guy?
I do. A ton of smoke around that, but...
Right, so it's kind of screwy, you know. Bonds, McGuire, Clemens—they're not going in because they were on the juice. And here's Bagwell going in. Pudge Rodriguez, only the second catcher to be first ballot Hall of Famer. The other, of course, is the great Johnny Bench, which means Pudge Fisk was not a first ballot Hall of Famer. What do you have to do, for God's sake?
Pudge, well, Carlton deserved to. Be in there on the first ballot, Harry.
But
baseball's a little funky there. You've never been to Cooperstown, huh?
I've never been to Cooperstown. I've been to Canton, to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is spectacular. And if anybody has been to a Hall of Fame other than baseball, football, hockey, basketball, please give us a buzz, 312-981-7200. You could text in if you don't feel like talking. I've been to two of the lesser Hall of Fames. I've been to the Thoroughbred Horse Racing Hall of Fame in Saratoga, which to me is a big deal. It is so cool. You see, like, the greatest horses, the greatest trainers, the greatest jockeys, and horse racing doesn't wait till you're retired. So you can go into the Hall of Fame horse racing, and you can still be training, you can still be riding.
Hold on a second.
Yes.
So you go to the Horse Racing Hall of Fame.
It was so cool. In Saratoga, one of the most gorgeous places in the world.
There are busts of horses, like there's a plaque for Secretariat.
Oh, yes.
And you see all the things that Secretariat wore.
Oh, yeah, the Triple Crown winners are all in there. Yeah, Secretariat Silks are in there. The famed blue and white blocks of Meadow Stables. I don't have to tell you that.
You don't. Name another horse that's in the Hall of Fame.
Affirmed is in the Hall of Fame.
What did Affirmed do?
Hello? Affirmed won the Triple Crown.
You went
1978. He beat Aladar. Aladar was the first horse to run second in all three Triple Crown races.
There's a Horse Racing Hall of Fame.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about Thoroughbred horse racing. Now understand, we didn't journey, you know, 600 miles to Albany, New York, to see the Hall of Fame. We went to Saratoga for the racing. Saratoga.
Well, that's good.
Right now is like the greatest time to go find a racetrack because Del Mar in San Diego is only open for 4 weeks. Saratoga in New York is only open for 5 weeks. And they're open now. People rent their houses in Saratoga for the 5 weeks that the track is open, and they pay for their mortgage payment for the other 11 months by going away from their home for 5 weeks. So I went to the Horse Racing Hall of Fame, and I went to, because it was right next to Busch Stadium, the Bowling Hall of Fame in St. Louis.
You've been to the Bowling Hall of Fame?
Yes.
Okay. Come on.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you, like, who was in there. Earl Anthony, I'm assuming, was in there. But I'm looking at this list of other Halls of Fame, and we need to drive to Whiting, Indiana, Carm.
Yeah? What's in Whiting, Indiana?
It's not far from here. It's like 15 miles away from Chicago. Probably takes half an hour over there.
Yeah?
Whiting, Indiana, they have the Mascot Hall of Fame.
The Mascot Hall of Fame.
How excited would you be to be at the Mascot Hall of Fame?
Who's in the Mascot Hall of Fame, Harry? I feel like you got a list in front of you.
I do have a list in front of me, but like, who would you guess? These are all sports, colleges included. Like, which mascots come screaming to mind?
Benny the Bull.
Benny the Bull, Carm, is why I'm angry. He is not on this list.
Tommy Hawk.
No, Tommy Hawk shouldn't. I love the Hawks. Tommy Hawk should not be in there. Okay, the first two.
Philly Fanatic should be in there.
I think the first two names that come to anybody's mind would be Philly Fanatic and San Diego Chicken.
Sure.
Right? Okay, so the famous chicken is in the Hall of Fame. The Philly Fanatic is in the Hall of Fame. The Suns Gorilla.
The gorilla belongs. You telling me that you could go to Whiting, Indiana, you go to the Mascot Hall of Fame?
Yes. But, Carmen, I'm telling you that Utah Jazz is Bear. Okay? Jazz Bear. I didn't even know his name.
I think his name is Crush.
His name is Jazz Bear.
Jazz Bear. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's creative.
Houston Rockets, Clutch.
Clutch should be in the Hall of Fame. Guy's huge.
Why is Clutch in the Hall of Fame?
Is the Chiefs guy in there?
George? No, he should be in there. Okay, the Spurs Coyote is in there. But Benny the Bull is not in there. Also, where's Staley? Where's Staley of the
Staley's
Bears?
Staley's not a Hall of Famer.
I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer.
Staley's not a Hall of Famer.
He's been around longevity. He's been around. He's been doing it forever.
The Honey Bear should be in the Hall of Fame.
It's a different Hall of Fame. Lil Red, the Nebraska mascot, is in the Hall of Fame.
What about Willie the Wildcat?
Willie the Wildcat belongs. No.
Craig Sager was Willie the Wildcat. Some of the greatest.
Smokey from the University of Tennessee, the Basset Hound, is in the Hall of Fame.
Don't know Smokey particularly well. I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Harry. I went last year.
That's so cool.
It was super cool.
What was your favorite thing in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
The letter that Madonna wrote to a friend of hers when she was in college at Michigan was incredible.
What did it say? Like, I want to be in the Rock and Roll
She's
Hall
like, I just don't know if school's for me. All these people are incredibly boring. I just want to go to New York, and I really think I could do something. Now, she was right. Way to go, Madonna. It was just like listening, you know, reading how she wrote and how she thought and the confidence and all of it of just being 18, 19-year-old Madonna. I was all in. It was a great read.
That is very, very cool. Big Ten, Bucky Badger, Brutus Buckeye, and Sparty.
Come on. Willie is way better than all those. People actually want to weigh in on your Hall of Fame here, Harry. I've been to...
Look at the Lions lighting up, Carm.
You hit on something here, Harold. Nice job. I've been to the Springfield, the Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts.
Which is like crossbreeding. It is college and pro.
I don't remember that.
Yes, it is.
Is that true?
Yes. And which former NBA player grew up closest to the Basketball Hall of Fame?
Dr. J.
Now, this is how sick I am. Vinny Del Negro.
Well, that's a Vinny Del Negro reference I didn't think was going to happen. Okay. How do you know that?
How do you not know that?
How do you not know that? Fine. Fair enough. 312-981-7200. The Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremonies are tomorrow. Bud Selig's going in, even though there was that steroid thing. It wasn't Bud's fault. It had to be collectively bargained. I get it. Baseball's got really tough testing right now. Nobody really knew what was going on. Don't blame Bud. Bud loves baseball. Bud knows everything about baseball. Bud deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And I actually believe that Bud deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's Bud Selig.
Of course he does. But they should induct Bud at 420.
They should. that's aggressive. Mike, welcome to 720 WGN. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I heard you talking horses. I happen to just hire a Hall of Fame trainer named Wayne Lucas. And he goes by D. Wayne Lucas. He's from Wisconsin.
Oh yeah, sure. Former basketball coach.
You hired him?
And let me tell you something. What a story. I'll tell you two quick funny stories. He had a phone call coming in when he was on the paddock, and it was President Gerald Ford. And his guy's telling, hey, you got a call down here in the paddock. The president wants to talk to you. And he asked, president of what company? Didn't realize that it was the president of the United States. And the next one was he was in there having a heck of a time with a horse, and Margaret Thatcher was there. And they come down and they say, some lady upstairs on the fourth floor wants you to come up and see Margaret Thatcher. And he shows my wife and I this picture of him talking to Margaret Thatcher. And I said, what were you talking about? He says, I was apologizing the whole time for telling her to get down and see me. I'm not going up four floors. But what's neat about Wayne is at the Kentucky Derby Museum, he's got 2,700 pieces that's going in there, and they're making a wing just for him. And if you ever take a moment to Google search this guy, his career has been unbelievable. And we were looking at these pewter cups that looked like something you drink hot chocolate out of.
Quickly, Mike.
And we didn't know what it was. And he says, every time you sneeze, you get one of them. And those were for the Breeders' Cup.
That's awesome.
I'll let you go.
Appreciate you sharing, Mike.
Yeah, Dwayne Lucas, great trainer, and he had a horse named Badgerland from Wisconsin, as you mentioned.
That's a beautiful thing. If you hang in there, we'll do a little more Hall of Fame, but there's a new baseball team in town, and we're going to talk to the owner, Sean Hunter, coming up here in a matter of moments. It's a cool emblem. They're going to play in Rosemont. Their name are the Dogs, the Chicago Dogs. The White Sox are already trying to compete with them. 720 WGN. Yeah, baby. More baseball coming to our fine land. One of the coolest logos I've seen in a long time make a debut. The Chicago Dogs, at the Chicago Dogs on Twitter. The red, white, and blue, pure Chicago. The hot dog, pure Chicago. Everything about it screams, go to a baseball game, independent league baseball. And one of the co-owners of the team, Sean Hunter, is on the line here, Harry. I know that you like hot dogs and you like baseball.
I do, and I got to be out there yesterday. They had a ton of people at the Wiener Circle to announce their name. And, Sean, thanks for coming on The Beat on WGN Radio with Mark Carmen and myself. Congratulations. What a fun launch yesterday. Must feel pretty good to have the Chicago Dogs alive and kicking.
It does, guys. Thanks for taking some time today to talk with us. It was a big day yesterday, a lot of fun, and I think it was an appropriate way to kick it off and to do it at the Wiener Circle.
Absolutely. The people eating hot dogs at 7 in the morning till midnight, Carm, and you have borrowed...
For a dollar.
It's happy hour, too. You have borrowed from the flag of Chicago. You got the four stars on the Chicago dog, and I want one right now. And for people that have never been to a minor league game, never been to a game that wasn't Cubs or White Sox, what is your plan? What are we going to get when we go to that gorgeous stadium that you're building out in Rosemont?
Well, I think it's going to – you nailed it. I think it's going to be maybe the nicest minor league park in the country. Credit goes to the mayor of Rosemont, Mayor Stevens. It's his vision to build this. We met through friends and hit it off, and he asked if I would consider owning the team, which didn't take me too long to say yes. But it is going to be state-of-the-art. With a lot of the modern amenities that you would see at a big league stadium or arena. The baseball is going to be great. The American Association, it's very similar to AA and affiliated ball. A lot of young guys actually playing in the majors right now. Max Scherzer actually pitched in this league probably 8 years ago before his career really took off. So there's some talent comes through there. Probably the biggest thing I can say is the affordability. You're going to be able to bring a family, and whether it's your first game or you want to see several games this summer, it's just going to be a great experience at a great price. Your family of four is going to be able to come and probably get tickets and eat for under $50, and that's a great experience.
So do we know our price points here yet, Sean? I'm already I'm curious about these things.
They just announced the name yesterday.
I'm sure that, listen, if you got a $60 million facility, I'm sure you've thought about, well, what do we need to charge in order to make this worth our while? I mean, it's there are some basic economics that go into this, right?
You bet. We will finalize all of our pricing, probably in the next few weeks, but we'll have tickets under $10. I think the average price is probably going to be around $13, probably $13.50 for the seats in the bowl. We'll have some premium seats. We'll have a club. We'll have some suites. But for the great fans, you're talking probably about a $13.50 average ticket price. And I feel good about that. Like I said, I think it's going to be a big experience at a very good price.
So Sean mentioned the fact that Scherzer was in the independent league. Also, the Twins closer. Right now, Brennan Kinsler was a longtime guy in the independent league. It's a league with guys that for whatever reason were blocked in an organization or something bad happened, so now they've come back around. How did you do you just love eating dogs? How did you get the name Chicago Dogs?
I do, but I say when you take a step back and if you think about the ingredients of this brand, if you got Chicago, which I think is the greatest city of baseball in the U.S., hot dogs, and, of course, baseball. That's pretty powerful combination, I think. So to bring those together in a logo, the name was always for us going to be the Chicago Dogs. That we never really looked at anything else. We had a lot of people suggest things, but for me personally, the Chicago Dogs just felt right. The first time I saw the logo that ended up being the direction that we unveiled yesterday, I mean, it hit us like a ton of bricks. I fell in love with it from the first minute. And once we saw that direction, it really took us about 10 days to get to the final design. And the feedback's been really positive. And I can't wait to be able to, you know, provide T-shirts and hats, you know, to the masses. I wore a T-shirt this morning. I went in to get my wife and I a coffee and was wearing the new logo. It was pretty cool. The guy behind the counter said, "Hey, I just saw that new team on TV yesterday and heard him talking about it on the radio." So it was a very good feeling to wake up this morning.
Yeah, I think you're going to have some gold there, Sean, as far as selling merchandise. That's a sweet look. The hipsters will be into it.
And the website.
And Harry, too.
And the website is up. You got to check it out, thechicagodogs.com. Check out the website. You can see what the stadium is going to look like. And, you know, Rosemont has reinvented itself. And if you go check it out, you can see it. And it's not, you know, I mean, obviously, you don't want, as Joe Madden would say, you don't want your team to suck. But it's really not about wins and losses, right, Sean?
It's not. We, you know, the competitive side of me is not going to allow us to, you know, to not go for it every year, which is good. But at the end of the day, this is about family entertainment and fun and doing it at a great price, as I said earlier. But we are going to put a great team on. I'm interviewing actually field managers as we speak. So the last couple of weeks, I've had some great conversations with some guys that have spent time in the big leagues, some guys that have spent time the American Association, the Atlantic League, and the unveiling yesterday actually brought even more candidates out, which was fun. People saw it in the trades, and we're getting some good people that are interested. So I think in a tradition of great baseball here in the city, we'll hope to put a winner out there. They won't just look good. Hopefully they'll look good on the field.
Carm, you know Ron Kittle's called him.
I'm getting like a visual of like Tom Hanks in A League of Their Own type of situation.
There's no crying in baseball.
Something like that. You were involved with the Avalanche, the Nuggets, and the Coyotes, correct, Sean? I'm just curious, like,
yes.
How do you go from, you know, that level of you know, NBA, NHL to this level of interest? Like, it seems like there's a shift there.
Well, you know what? This is a lifelong passion. This is something that I actually wanted to do 20 years ago. Never knew that the opportunity would present itself right here in Chicago and in Rosemont. But I've had a very fortunate career in the NBA and the NHL. Got very involved in Major League Soccer. I ran a company called AEG, which owns a number of teams around the world. Actually, the LA Kings, Mr. Anschutz, who is the AEG, owns a third of the Lakers, and we had teams in Germany and Sweden in hockey and soccer. So I had a great time running those, but I always wanted to be involved with minor league baseball because of that, what you guys talked about earlier, that family and kid perspective, that it is, you know, a great way to introduce people to the game at great prices. And thankfully I met the mayor and it all came together, and you know, I don't plan on ever wearing a suit again.
That's a pretty good gig if you can get it. The only time I get asked to own a team is like fantasy football leagues. That's it. No one ever comes to me and says, we want to own this minor league baseball team.
It's probably safer that way. But I'm so excited. I got to involve my family. I have two teenage boys, and so my wife and sons got to be part of the whole unveiling yesterday, and got to put on the hot dog suits and ride around the city in a double decker bus. It was a great moment of truth yesterday.
Right, Cubs fans listening want to know: have you decided yet? Will Justin Grimm still pitch out of the bullpen for you next year, or will he be in your starting rotation?
Terry,
what?
Sean, congratulations on the team. You guys are being really well received, and it's. I think it sounds like you guys are going to hit the ground running, so to speak, next year. So we'll look forward to seeing you guys out there and when it's all fully unfolded.
Guys, thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, Sean Hunter.
Thanks, Sean. Terrific.
Owner of the Chicago Dogs, baby. Get yourself a Chicago Dog. Watch the Chicago Dogs. 720 WGN.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
Final hour of The Beat for this Saturday. I'm Mark Carmody, Harry Tynowitz. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks for joining us. And great to talk to Sean Hunter, owner of the Chicago Dogs. You could just, sometimes you could just ooze the togetherness and successfulness and intelligence of someone. I was just kind of feeling that from a Sean Hunter. So I think that the new team in Rosemont's in good hands.
He's pretty cool. I was at the Wiener Circle yesterday. Full disclosure, my friend Tom Sheridan left the White Sox after 23 years, and he's like the VP. And so he invited me out yesterday at the Wiener Circle. And I lived across the street from the Wiener Circle for 7 years, Carm. I'm used to going there late at night after I've had a few bars. And it was really bizarre to be there in, not only in the morning, but in the daylight. Just like, oh my God, you guys are open during the day.
Did you get a cheddar fry with your dog?
I didn't.
You didn't have food?
I didn't have food.
You're such a healthy guy these days. It's impressive.
Healthy guy. What did I bring in today?
Orange flavored chocolate Milano's.
Yeah.
And you also brought in the strawberry Pepperidge Farm sweet and simple thumbprint cookie.
Because that's what I am, sweet and simple.
Yeah, so you'd have upped your cookie game. I think you've taken it personally that I've ripped the cookies that you've brought in here before.
You're an elitist, that you don't appreciate Sam's Club cookies aren't good enough for you. Let me introduce you to America. America Carm. Carm America.
You knew that I was right.
I thought David Kaplan was the only cookie elitist.
Wow.
I won't eat it if it's hard. It's got to be a soft cookie.
Shot it at the Catman out of nowhere. Hey, somebody's been very patient who wanted to weigh in on your Hall of Fame, Harry, and I think this is like your...
Yeah, we're asking about other Hall of Fames besides the four big ones.
I think this is your spirit animal, and her name is Susan, and she's calling WGN, and she's been to... Susan, you've been to the Harness Racing Hall of Fame and the Mascot Hall of Fame? Is that true?
I go to the Harness Racing Hall of Fame in Goshen, New York, and it's awesome. Mascot Hall of Fame is not open yet. They're still building the building.
Oh, that's why I haven't been there.
Yes, you haven't been there yet. It's opening in 2018 in Whiting, Indiana. It looks like a beautiful building. In fact, I'm in Whiting, Indiana right now.
Oh, I want to party with you, Susan.
Well, it's Pierogi Fest. Come on down.
All right.
Susan.
Go on.
No, I'm just curious. Where did the harness racing love come from? And were you just like lost and ended up at the Hall of Fame? Or was this like an actual intentional visit on your part?
Well, I've liked horse racing of both kinds my whole life. My parents bet horses and friends bet horses. And so I've been around it my whole life on that end, not owner or anything,
right,
but a better.
That's what horses are for, is to bet. That's why God put horses on earth. It wasn't for like transportation in the old days. It was so you could gamble.
That's absolutely right. And I happened to take a class in Ohio. They had a class where you can learn how to drive a harness horse. So I took that, and part of my tuition was a subscription to Hoofbeats magazine. So I got that, and one month I was reading it on time, and it had this thing about the Harness Hall of Fame and the Goshen Historic Track, which only races one weekend, I think, a year. And I got my car the next couple days, and I drove to New York and went to the Harness Hall of Fame, and it's incredible.
Hoofbeats magazine, did you say that?
What was that?
Hoof Beats magazine.
Yes, Hoof Beats magazine.
Does it have a centerfold in it?
I'm looking.
It has lots of beautiful centerfolds.
I'm looking at it right.
Four legged.
I'm looking at it right now. The July 2017 issue of Hoof Beats magazine. there is a. It looks like Sports Illustrated. I'm going to be honest here. There's a guy with the name Walsh, who's. Harry, what's going on here? Can you look at that and explain it to the listener, please?
Sure. Well, he's pulling back on a horse. He's trying to get.
Is that what's going on?
Yeah, and actually, Suzanne used the correct term before you text us. You know what? Why'd she say drive? You ride a thoroughbred racehorse. You drive a harness horse.
Brian Sears, yes, to be dubbed Hall of Famer. What do you got on Brian Sears, Suzanne? He's on the cover here.
He's a good jockey. Probably Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know if they go into the Hall of Fame before they retire or not. So it's been a few years since I've been to that location.
I don't know. I don't know anything about harness racing. All I know is it's not as exciting as thoroughbred horse racing.
Oh, it can be just as exciting. You should try it.
Come on, they never come rallying from way back in the final strides.
if you, hey Suzanne, if you can tell me where Hoof Beats magazine is based, I'll buy you a subscription for the next 2 years. Go ahead.
Well, I already have a subscription for the next year, but it's based in Delaware, Ohio.
That is incorrect. Very close. Westerville, Ohio.
Well, it might be a suburb.
What about Tiger Beat?
It's near Columbus. Would be the major city around there.
What do you know about Hoof Beats executive editor T.J. Burkett?
Come on.
I don't know anything about him, but he might have a... inside the front cover, he may be the guy that writes the article, the introduction. Yeah. I'm not sure if it is or not.
What about web graphic designer Autumn Ryan, extension 3222?
Absolutely nothing.
Every girl I've met named Autumn has been a knockout.
Suzanne, you've been a good sport. Thank you so much.
Can I say one more thing?
Yes.
I also took a picture with Staley this afternoon.
You are like the coolest. You are like the coolest chick, and I say that with compliment. You're like the coolest chick ever. She's been to both thoroughbred horse racing, which been to Harness Racing Hall of Fame. She knows about the Mascot Hall of Fame coming to Whiting, and she's a Bears fan that was down in Bear Bonanza.
Suzanne, your energy is a gift. I hope you continue to spread it all over the place.
Yeah, and make sure Staley gets in. Staley's got to be in that Mascot Hall of Fame.
We'll make sure he does. I'll talk to the mayor. And also, you guys are the first call I've made to WGN. And I'm not that big of a sports fan, so that's pretty neat for me.
Well, there's a lot of shows here to call. We appreciate it. And, call back. Keep listening.
You also...
I listen every week, and I was concerned that you weren't on at 3 o'clock. So I don't know when that seemed to change.
It's been going on for a little while. 4 to 7, yeah. Suzanne. Mark Hall, by the way, is the photographer. He's available extension 3288 for Hoof Beats magazine.
Okay, well, you should subscribe. I get it every month, and I think it's awesome.
I already got my tennis magazine coming once a month. That'd be too much reading for me. Thank you, Suzanne.
Thank you, guys.
As Lou Reed would say, I love you, Suzanne.
I mean, that's the level that this show will go to. You didn't know that you'd go Hoof Beats magazine out of nowhere, the United States Trotting Association.
Dan Long, you're a music guy. You got a Lou Reed, I Love You, Suzanne. Lou Reed is so cool. He gave us Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
Love some Lou Reed.
Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground.
The United States Trotting Association?
I don't know who the United States, I never heard of the United States Trotting. I'm telling you, harness racing, keep it. I did drive a harness horse once. I didn't fall off the harness horse.
I should be more curious. There's just so much going on.
I like it when you explore. It's a good quality for a radio guy to explore.
Well, Suzanne waited on hold for like 45 minutes.
Great guest, but she brought it. I mean, she had energy. She had enthusiasm.
Yeah, that energy was a gift. It said, look at here at the news headlines at the United States Trotting Association. Harmon to send out Taco Tuesday in Yonkers. A lot of people call me Harmon. This is not me, right, but now I feel connected to the United States Trotting Association.
See, now, for all the breeding I know and for all the handicapping I know, I always tell people, if you like the name, bet the horse. Taco Tuesday, that's a great name.
Taco Tuesday by Harmon is huge.
My dad's theory on great names in horse racing.
Taco Tuesday, a 4-year-old gelding by Canteb Hall, will make his first start out of Rob and Patty Harmon's stable. There you go, Rob and Patty Harmon.
You know, of course, what gelding means, right?
It's something to do with being gelded?
Yes. There you go.
no more hanky-panky for that horsey.
No. And what, David, you know why they do it, David?
Go ahead.
But, because they want horses to... Because some horses, they don't want...
Will lose focus, shall we say?
Exactly.
Wait, they snipped Taco Tuesday?
Taco Tuesday is... is without his family jewels because...
Do they actually take the jewels?
They snip, snip.
Snip, snip.
Right, because they want him to be all business. They want him to be all business. You can't have a male horse looking around the barn thinking about,
how they get rich with the old stud horses situation?
It is, but if your horse doesn't win, you can't get rich at all. You can't win a race at all.
But he's running, isn't he, Taco Tuesday?
Now he's running. Before he had surgery, he might...
He was all thinking about the other...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
Sound familiar?
It does to many athletes.
It makes the male horse in question or donkey or mule calmer, also better behave.
How do you know that, Jennings?
Because I happened to look it up.
Wow, Jennings, doing work on the show out of nowhere. This is a legendary.
Harry doesn't really realize I know you. You know,
he doesn't get it.
I don't. I think I do get it. Taco Tuesday got snipped on 720.
You don't want your horse to be gelded. If you're a Derby winner, you make your money by selling your horse's seed.
As long as I don't get gelded, everything's good for me. I'm not worried about the horse right now.
As long as you tell your girlfriend everything going on in your life, you won't get gelded.
No gelding. 720, can we do this? Yes, we'll move along. Hot take coming up next. Hot take on a man by the name of LeVar Ball. 720 WGN. I learned during the break, we'll get to LeVar Ball in a second, but I learned during the break about Paige Spiriniak.
Mm-hmm.
Article earlier this week, Paige Spiriniak was deemed too sexy for the LPGA Tour when they brought in a strict new dress code last week. Spiriniak's Instagram, famous for her tantalizing photos, does not have a spot on the LPGA Tour. But she recently spoke out about her decision to bring in the new guidelines. And she wrote in Fortune, take the vague banning of the plunging necklines. And she says, what constitutes a plunging neckline? Most likely this edict was put into place to eliminate the presence of cleavage. And in that case, a curvier, fuller figured woman would be chided and fined far more often than a woman with a smaller bust.
I want everybody to make their own opinion, formulate your own opinion. So the name is Paige Spiriniak, Spiranac.
It's not a bad person to look at.
No. She simply is saying, I mean, she doesn't want to be a golfer so she can walk around half naked. She wants to be a golfer so she can be the best golfer in the world. She's simply saying, like, really, you're worried about cleavage?
Well, it's interesting that the LPGA is worried about cleavage when in other sports they're all naked on the body issue with ESPN. You're seeing naked Caroline Wozniak. You're seeing naked Javi Baez. You're seeing naked Isaiah Thomas. And you're seeing literally nakedness from every sport.
I hate to be shallow.
Not that they're running out there playing naked, so there is a difference there, but it just seems like you're kind of off of where society's at with how they view bodies and what's acceptable and what's not.
All right, so let's be honest here, okay? There was a horse named Honest Pleasure.
We're doing the show naked right now. Is that what you want to tell everybody?
No, I want to say, when you think of Anna Kournikova, do you think of tennis first? What do you think of?
I think of her versus Maria Sharapova.
Anna Kournikova
But I'm a tennis fan.
Anna
Kournikova, I think, beautiful woman.
Right, I think beautiful woman who played tennis. And, of course, she dated a couple of NHL stars. She had the Russian Rocket.
Okay, I forgot about Anna Kournikova's dating history. I'm glad that you're on top of that.
Pavel Bure, man.
Okay, Harry.
Oh, he was a good player.
Sure.
But
how long do they date?
I don't know exactly how long.
I'm more interested in Bure and Kournikova.
But if you, I mean, like, I'm shallow to the point where, like, I don't really watch tennis, but if I were watching tennis and there was, I'm sorry, golf. We're talking about golf. If I was watching golf and there was a woman who happened to be spectacular looking,
mm-hmm,
with a plunging neckline, that wouldn't stop me from watching golf. Okay, now, if somebody did something, and like, you know, when my daughter was younger, there's this children's network that fired one of their hosts because it came out that this woman had done these certain types of film before she got to this children's network. I understand that. You can't have the host for these little kids shows, you know, doing these raunchy, you know, adult type films. But this is just a woman who, you know, has a great body and she's proud of it. And so she's more free to swing.
She absolutely should be able to. That's an interesting way of putting it. She absolutely should be able to. I feel uncomfortable. But she should be able to, in a professional way,
right,
represent herself in the LPGA. I got you.
Serena Williams.
I'm still uncomfortable with this conversation, but I'm approaching here, Harry.
Well, look, I'm sure that there are women that talk about guys. Okay, Patrick Sharp. You know, and there's, you know, it's 2017. There are guys that talk about guys. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. There are people that no matter how great they are, the first thing people bring up is how attractive they are. So this Paige Spurinac, good for her for making this protest video, and you guys should check it out.
I'm looking forward to the show being over for an additional reason tonight to check out the video. All right.
You want the show to be over?
Well, I don't want it to be over, but I have learned that the show does have to end. I have to move on with my life. You don't get to do it forever. And every night feels like a minor retirement. But tonight, on a Saturday, I get to watch a video of Paige Spurinac.
Well, I didn't mean to make you feel uncomfortable there.
No,
Sam.
I'm not uncomfortable. I'm good. So,
LeVar Ball.
Yeah, just for a second. Can we play LeVar Ball, please? LeVar Ball, everybody knows who LeVar Ball is, right? LeVar Ball, whose son is Lonzo Ball, who got drafted by the Lakers.
Second pick.
Second pick overall, and he's got two other sons, and he's been the guy that's been yelling at you on your TV screen for months now, getting all sorts of attention, basically on every sports show, First Takes and whatever else, screaming about how he can play Michael Jordan, and he's just, he is the worst type of person going, who the world revolves around him. He's getting fame for himself via his sons. I mean, we all know guys like this. We all know the guy that shows up at the Little League game and screams at the referee. Mm-hmm. We all know dads who are reliving their failed athletic careers through their kids. Mm-hmm. And so, he falls under that umbrella. Yesterday, he's at an AAU tournament. Now, Harry, let me ask you a question. How important would you deem an AAU game played in July in Las Vegas at an Adidas tournament? How important is that?
Not very.
Right. Okay. We are in agreement that it's just not to be able to make it through a game and not get a technical and not scream at the referee about what's going on, let alone attack a woman referee who's a Division I NCAA referee.
He was coaching? He was coaching?
He was coaching the game. He's screaming at an NCAA official who happens to be a woman. And then afterwards, do we have the cut here, Dan? Afterwards, he's being interviewed and he says this.
She got a vendetta because she's a woman. I'm trying to act. I get that she's trying to break into the refereeing thing.
She's a
Division
I referee. But just giving
texts and calling fouls, that's no way to do it. I know what she's trying to say. I gave him a tech. I'm strong. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Just call the game. If you're going to be qualified, you better be in shape and you better know the game. And she's bad on both of them. She's not in shape. She's not calling the game right. And she don't understand. So now she's trying to make a name for herself. So she's walking around like, you know, I'm the only woman in here. Yeah, we get it. I don't care if you're a woman or a man or whatever. Just be good at what you do. Don't try to step in the lane. She needs to stay in the lane because she ain't ready for this. Coach the little kids first and then come up. Because she ain't did enough. She ain't got enough on her resume. I can tell.
So he's coaching 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. He's calling a woman referee fat, in essence.
He certainly has a great deal of nerve.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And
the son is...
That's like an over-the-top verbal smackdown. And it's not good.
It isn't. And again, it's an AAU game that no one cares about in the middle of July. And the worst thing about the whole scenario, Adidas, who's sponsoring the event, LeVar's team brings in people because he's got college talent on there. He's got his son on there. People want to see his team. So what did they do? Adidas, because they're in bed with LeVar and they want him to... you know, his sons to perhaps hawk their product. They booted that ref out of the game and replaced her with a man. I mean, how gross is that? So this is the lesson that he's teaching his kids who are already privileged, you know, have everything pampered for them and have no concept of reality because they're good at basketball. So now he's teaching them. He threatened to pull his team off the court. I left that out. That's how he got the referee moved. If you don't remove her, I'm going to take my team out. So he's teaching the lesson that if you don't get what you want, you take your ball and go home. It's awful on 7,000 levels.
How is Lonzo Ball not in Trump's cabinet?
Right? He does fit, doesn't he?
I wish someone would take Lonzo Ball and go home.
So I just thank you for allowing me to get that off my chest. My God.
That was good. That was a good rant.
Well, just trying to make the world a better place, Harry. WGN with you till 7. We will keep you up to date on the Cubs and Brewers. Cubs are down 1-0.
Sox and Tribe.
Sox and Tribe. No one cares about the White Sox and the Tribe. Not even Sox fans. They just want to lose. They're 3 games out of the worst record in all of baseball. That's the goal for the White Sox right now.
Isn't that funny how you're saying 3 games out? But you're accurate.
I mean, that's what they're going for.
Right, I agree.
So, okay, fine. Let's update the Sox and Tribe.
There's no NFL.
No score top two.
But there's no NFL, NBA rule about tanking.
There is no NBA rule about tanking. Which we're going to get
in MLB.
We're going to get to Derrick Rose in a second here, but I do want to read this text from Mary on the cleavage issue in golf, LPGA specifically. Here, that would be women's golf. Men don't have this issue. About the cleavage issue for women's golf, if someone has a problem with seeing cleavage, this is from Mary on the text line. That is the observer's problem, not the player's problem. Go, Mary. It might be some moral objection. That's a subjective personal opinion, which is inappropriate to apply to the dress code for golf. The player should abide by the reasonable dress code, and a female should not have to modify her clothing simply because her cleavage might show. There is nothing about her clothing that affects play, the fairness, or the rules of golf. By the way, have you seen the tight pants on some of the male golfers?
Right.
There's a lot you can see through those pants.
Henrik Stenson, is that his name?
I don't, sure, that's his name. Is Henrik Stenson wear a tight pant?
Look, it's, and NFL players, I mean, NFL pants. I will be watching a game. I will be intently watching a game. And some woman will come by, whether it's... my wife's a pretty big sports fan. But even she will sometimes say, oh, look at how... Her mother. Look how tight those pants are. You know, I mean, or I'll be like in a bar, and the waitress will come by and say, look at how tight those pants are. Or, you know, like Tom Brady is maybe the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL, led an incredible comeback in the Super Bowl. And I heard somebody on the radio that night saying, oh, he's the most attractive football player. Really? That's what you got?
He is very good looking, though, Harry.
He's very good looking, but that night was about him coming back from, what, 28-3 down?
Sure. Okay. I get it. That doesn't offend me.
Tom Brady is very good looking, and he's the ugliest person in his marriage.
That's true, too.
Right.
I mean, I just think it's okay to acknowledge when someone's good looking. Are you bothered by that?
I'm not bothered by it. I can say a guy is good looking. I can say a girl is good looking.
Right. You look great, by the way.
I'd say less likely to explode. Okay. The guy thing about I can't judge if a guy is good looking or not. I can tell if a guy is good looking. I think it's easier to tell if a guy is ugly.
Uh-huh.
But women, I think, can gauge better, like, how women look, and they'll have, like, specifics. Oh, she's got two, you know, she had to tell me about her eyebrows, or her blush is wrong, or something like that.
Yeah, now you're getting too much into the details. I think it's very basic on whether or not someone is attractive. And, of course, at the end of the day, it isn't about looks, Harry.
No, it's whether or not they put out.
Okay, now I'm super uncomfortable. This isn't the overnight show. This is 6:38 at prime time, pal.
We're not in safe harbor?
No. It's about having a real connection, Harry. It's about whether somebody is a true partner.
Connected in your relationship?
I do. It's about partnership. It's about wanting the best for that person and them wanting it for you. It's about learning and growing.
I agree.
And all of that.
I agree.
So looks are fleeting, except for you. You just get better by the day.
looks are what might, you know, attract you at first, but no, you're going to need more than that to formulate a bond, a relationship. And there's nothing more important than having a source of support and to support somebody else.
Deep talk right here with Carmen Harry on 720 WGN. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about relationships. Let's talk about for a second, if we can, as we segue around here, take a left turn. Derrick Rose, the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA, mm-hmm. the man who led the Bulls.
Rookie of the year.
The rookie of the year.
Mm-hmm.
The man who led the Bulls as deep as they've gone since Michael retired.
Eastern Conference Finals.
One win against those Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James and actually who they beat?
The Heat.
That was the Heat then, right. Derrick Rose, who had he not been on the court up 20 in the fourth quarter against the Philadelphia 76ers, maybe...
On a Saturday afternoon.
Maybe the whole thing looks different. Derrick Rose was a free agent. Nobody was willing to give him the money. He wanted the maximum.
He got the minimum. He begged the Clippers to sign him. He went to the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs not interested.
He ends up on a minimum deal for $2 million, which, by the way, I think that is a livable wage.
Yeah, how's he going to eat?
He's going to be...
$2.1 million.
Don't want to short that $100,000. He's going to play with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now... I think this is a major quandary for Bulls fans. You've got, if you're a diehard Michael guy like myself, you don't.
Who's not?
There's a ton of people in the city that are not. A ton. I listen to them all the time. It makes me nauseous.
Wait, somebody has a problem with the greatest basketball player ever, who, by the way, gave six titles to the Bulls?
Yeah, because they think that his ego is too big or something.
That's the stupidest thing. If they could hang in the air for 7.5 seconds, they'd have an ego too.
Whatever the reasons are, I don't know.
That's stupid.
It's hard to hear. But so, if you're a Michael guy, you don't. And I don't judge players' greatness by rings. If LeBron James wins 10 rings, I'll still say Michael's better. But you don't want LeBron winning if you're a diehard Michael guy. You just don't. You don't, because it's just going to add to the conversation. So, but if you're a Derrick guy and you want Derrick to do well, I mean, the Bulls are trying to lose. There's no competition there. So if you're rooting for Derrick, now you're rooting for Derrick and LeBron to... You want Rose to win the whole thing? I don't know. This is tough.
I thought Derrick to Milwaukee would have been fun.
Derrick to Milwaukee would have been great.
Because the Bucks, you know, the Bucks are like an up-and-coming team. They got the Greek Freak, who is spectacular. They got the Rookie of the Year. That is a fun group to watch, to cheer for.
I think Derrick on the Cavs is great, though. I think it's super interesting.
It is super interesting, but, you know... I'm going to cheer for anybody who's playing the Cavs. I love Derrick Rose, but I'm cheering for anybody.
Me too.
Okay.
But I want Derrick to do well. I guess I can make this easier than it is. I hope Derrick plays well. I hope they lose.
See, for me, D. Rose can't help how fragile he is. It's not like if he had worked out more, he wouldn't have gotten hurt. Do you believe he is fragile or unlucky?
Oh, I believe he's got a bad body.
Okay, he's got a bad body. Is there anything he could have done? Drank more milk?
I think in theory,
worked harder in the gym.
See,
he couldn't have physically done anything to prevent these injuries.
I mean, I think if you went back in
snake bit,
if you went back in time, if Derrick Rose could go back in time,
mm-hmm.
he could have. And I don't, and listen, I'm not around Derrick Rose. I don't know, but I'm guessing he could have done a lot more preventative stuff before he got hurt. Like, I think he was just a guy that showed up at the gym, put on his shoes, and balled. Which is normal, by the way, for anybody in their early 20s.
Okay, Kevin White, the receiver on the Bears,
mm-hmm.
he was never Rookie of the Year. He was never MVP in the league. This guy's only played 4 games in his first 2 years, 4 out of 32. So, I mean, there are people that are far, far worse, you know, with it being injury prone than D. Rose.
Absolutely. Derrick had a great, phenomenal, incredible start to a career.
Right.
It's just going to end in a way that, however it ends, even if he wins a championship with the Warriors or with the Cavs and is a, you know, 15-point-a-night scorer, it's still not going to feel like, it's still going to feel like for Rose fans that you got gypped.
All right, the 2014 quote, okay, I don't care that Derrick Rose keeps getting hurt. I care about his quote when he said, if you see me miss a game, if you see me not dive for a ball, don't worry, it's just that I don't want to be limping at my son's graduation.
That was a bad one.
That was so that's the thing that I think of. But, you know, I got to meet Derek, and I saw him 2 years later. He remembered my name. He was not, for all the people that tell him you're the greatest, Derek Rose was pretty down to earth. Okay? He didn't fall in love with his publicity. Derek Rose kept working hard. So in that respect, I want him to succeed.
I hope he has a great year.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that, I guess, Cleveland makes it to the finals and they lose. Derek's a Cav. That's just bizarre. Yeah. For the Rose fans out there, if you could just, you know, if we can, maybe we could just create a little bit of a club here. The D Rose Cleveland Cavalier Support Club. Something like that.
I think you get a lot of Cleveland.
I mean, straight out of Simeon, Chicago's very own, and now he's rocking with LeBron in Cleveland. That's just.
I think you get more people cheering for cleavage than for Cleveland.
Correct. Very, very true. All right, there's a huge, huge fight tonight. We'll explain. Coming back, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Harry Tino. It's Harry. I've really enjoyed being with you today. Do you know that?
I mean, not just saying that?
No, not at all.
You won't cuddle.
What have we talked about today? We've talked about the LPGA.
A lot of Cubs.
And cleavage. We talked about Cubs.
Uh-huh.
We talked about
Hall of Fames.
Baseball Hall of Fames. We got to the Harness Racing Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
We got to the people in the Harness Racing Hall of Fame magazine office, whatever that was.
Hoofbeat Magazine. Where Suzanne was the caller.
We're about to talk about an incredible UFC battle tonight. But Jennings, you got breaking news in swimming, just so we have all the bases covered today? I hear there's breaking news in swimming. David Jennings.
Not so much breaking, but it's this happened last night. Caleb Dressel's the first swimmer to win 3 gold medals in one night of the World Championships. He won the 50-meter freestyle. He almost broke Michael Phelps' world record in the 100-meter butterfly and closed the night in the mixed 4x100 free relay. So he so far got 6 gold medals in the championship. Phelps holds the record with 7 at the 2007 World Championships.
How long did it take him to win the 3 golds last night?
About 2 hours.
And the most amazing part of that, Dave, was he did it right after eating.
Well, hey, some people can break those rules.
David, thank you very much for bringing swimming to the program
that
today.
That's 3 golds in 2 hours.
Hey, I'm a terrible swimmer, so I respect anybody who can swim, let alone win 3 gold medals, and however quickly that gentleman did that.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
If we didn't have a solid guest coming up, I'd ask you about Michael Phelps racing the shark.
I loved Phelps versus the shark. I don't care. I liked the Cliff Notes version of it. I didn't sit there forever and expect this whole Phelps versus the shark thing, so I enjoyed it. If you did that, that's on you.
I misunderstood. I thought I was all excited because I thought it was going to race Patrick Sharp.
Okay. Mike Dice is fan-sided MMA guy. You should be following him on Twitter, at Mike Dice. And he's joining us now, becoming a regular in the fighting part of the program. And Dice, thank you for jumping on 720 WGN. There is a huge fight tonight. I think the people of this program need to know what is out there with a John Jones and a Daniel Cormier and why they should make that part of their evening. Can you play promoter here for a second?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me, and always happy to play promoter and talk up the great sport that is MMA. Not only is there maybe one of the biggest fights in UFC history tonight, it's one of the best cards of the year and one of the best cards they've ever put on. The pay-per-view. There's 3 title fights on this card, including Chris Cyborg's long-awaited UFC featherweight title shot. They created this division for her, and she's just getting a shot at the belt. She's 10 years undefeated. You have Tyron Woodley and Damian Maia. That's an incredible matchup for the welterweight title, but it all comes down to Daniel Cormier and John Jones. These are arguably the best fighters on the planet. Pound for pound, number one, number two, you have John Jones and Daniel Cormier. John Jones is widely considered undefeated. His one loss was controversial. Daniel Cormier, his one loss was to John Jones. And there's genuine animosity between these two. They do not like each other. And
start with that. You're burying the lead. They hate each other. That's That's great. Now, Cormier was the wrestler. Is that common? I don't know, Mike. Is that common for MMA guys to have wrestling be the foundation?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of wrestlers or people who had wrestling as their background to make the transition into MMA. He's obviously the most notable. Tyron Woodley, who I mentioned, is fighting, defending his welterweight title. He was a collegiate wrestler at the University of Missouri back in the day. Brock Lesnar, who was a huge figure in the UFC, was a national champion at Minnesota.
So hold on a second here, Dice, because I want to just set the scene because you wanted to get in the animosity here. They had their stare down earlier this week.
Uh-huh.
Daniel Cormier, who's how tall is he, Dice? About 5'8"?
No, he's probably a little bit taller than that, like 5'11".
Okay, 5'11". Yeah. So John Jones is a tall dude, 6'3", 6'4". So they're staring each other down. Cormier's wearing like a three-piece suit. Looks like he's like straight out of Wall Street, Chase Bank style type of thing. John Jones gets up there, rips off his shirt, and is just staring him down and towering over him. It was an interesting dichotomy there.
But this is great because the Mayweather-McGregor thing is so fake. This is awesome that you have authentic, you know, disdain for each other in this battle. How much is my pay-per-view going to cost me tonight, Mike?
I believe if you want to get in HD, it'll cost you about $59, but you can get standard def. Standard definition for $49.
So that's a bargain.
You can get it. Yeah, this is definitely a card that's worth it. If you're going to pay money on a pay-per-view, this is way worth it over compared to Mayweather-McGregor.
What happens if you're going to try to go to a bar and just watch the fight? Is that available in the Chicagoland area to your knowledge?
Yeah, it's available all over. The place that's closest to my house is on the north side of Chicago. It's called D'Agostino's at the corner of Southport and Addison. I know that they play every fight there, and there's no cover charge.
Wow. Oh, see, look at that there, Harry.
I know it well.
We're bringing value. You can go to D'Agostino's, have a little thin pie. You got to go thin at D'Ag's, right? And then watch a little Jones, little Cormier, huh? And
they're deep dishes in bed.
I would go deep dish there as well.
All right, well, to each his own. So, and then Chris Cyborg, do people know who that is outside of me and Harry? Because you just claimed that she's like the best female fighter of all time. I'm wondering, like everybody thinks female fighter, they think Ronda Rousey, and of course that's not going on anymore.
Well, I think people in MMA circles know her, but people outside of that don't know her. She's a Brazilian, so she doesn't necessarily get as much promotion as somebody like Ronda Rousey. The language barrier is an issue. But the big fight that everybody was talking about for a long time is Ronda Rousey versus Cyborg, and of course now it looks like it's never going to come to fruition, but that was the fight that everybody wanted.
Okay,
it's not fair to fight a cyborg.
That's very true. And John Jones was suspended for how long, Dice? He had a little issue with the cocaine.
So he got popped for cocaine on a drug test related to their first fight, went to rehab for a day, left. Then a little while later, he was involved in a hit and run. They stripped him of the belt. Daniel Cormier won the belt after he vacated it. And then he got suspended for a drug violation for USADA. This is like a PED-based drug, not a recreational drug, right before their fight at UFC 200, which was going to be last July. So he was suspended for a year again after that. So he served two different year-long suspensions since they fought the first time at UFC 182.
So he hasn't fought for 2 years, but he did beat him before.
He fought in April of last year.
Okay.
It was a comeback fight and as an interim title fight. He did not look impressive. He looked rusty. So we'll see.
We got a guy outside the studio right now who's punching people on the street. Not literally punching him, but kind of like doing a shadow boxing type of situation. He's feeling you right now, Dice, just so you know. Mike Dice, fansided.com, FanSided.com. We appreciate the knowledge, MMA expert Mike Dice. Hold on, Harry's got another question.
No, it's just Sally. I mean, I would have never thought like I wanted to watch the fight.
You
instilled the desire in me to go check this out.
They're one of their first stare downs incited a brawl right in the middle of the MGM lobby. The backdrop was toppled over. They were fighting on top of people. It was this huge melee. YouTube it. That'll get you psyched.
I will YouTube it. And cocaine use. Shouldn't they make them like play basketball?
Like Where is that coming from?
I don't know. I was trying to think, would football have been funnier?
Are you going like Len Bias type of thoughts here?
Oh, no.
Okay, I mean, that's totally out of bounds by me, but I just don't know why you were thinking Quentin Daly back in the day.
Well, my first thought was like Daryl Strawberry, but Daryl Strawberry is one of the great recovery stories.
Right. There was a great piece, by the way, this week, as we wrap up the show here. Dice, appreciate your time, brother.
Like Roy Tarpley.
The great piece up. You got it, Mike Dice.
Thank you, Mike Dice.
So, Lamar Odom. Yeah. There's a piece in the Players Tribune this week. Did you watch it? Read it? Both? There's a video and a...
I did not.
Oh, my God. It is... I mean, he went to the deepest, darkest places you can go.
I know what it was about, but I did not.
I mean, he was in a coma for 4 days. He was doing cocaine every single night. All he wanted to do was get high. I actually had like a relating to Lamar Odom. He's like, he lost his mom at 12, which is similar to me. Mm. And he's like, that puts a stain on you that you never really get off. Which, and I'm not saying that that's the reason why he is doing drugs all the time or had a major issue, but it's true though. When you lose your mom at that age, it's not something that ever really truly goes away. It was just kind of interesting to read that. And then his journey where his dad wasn't very involved and he had all this success. And then he's in the hospital after being in a coma and all his teammates come. Kobe comes and visits him.
Great.
I mean, tons of support for him. And he's talking openly about how he's in a motel room getting high on cocaine and his with, you know, whatever female he's with. And his wife walks in. Like he's detailing all this. It's a pretty, it's a great read is what it is in the Players Tribune.
You know, I won't even get started on addiction. We got Guth coming up here, but... My hope is that Lamar Odom is able to, you know, use the people around him and, you know, come back from where he was.
He seems like he's on the way, Harry. And it's all a journey, man. A little bit of a roller coaster. Some people's roller coasters tend to be or can be a bit steeper than others.
Death defying.
Right. Well, hopefully he'll take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of him.
They have programs that can help a lot.
Yeah.